about all that Rosalita's on Washington Avenue has to offer, with live music all day featuring DJ Music, Mariachi, Mendez, STL, and Latin band Vladimir Ferreira. You can ride the Mechanical Bull, plus two balloon twisters and two face painters will be there. Tex-Mex, margaritas, and Cinco de Mayo done right. And it's all happening at Rosalita's on Washington Avenue.
Mother's Day is May 12th and Surf and Sirloin is going all out. Who's ready for unlimited colossal shrimp, shrimp cocktail and fried tempura style, plus all-you-can-eat USDA prime rib, Colorado leg of lamb, Alaskan crab, a full traditional breakfast buffet, fresh fruit, pastries, and pedophores. Mother's Day and graduation reservations. Call 822-3637, 822-3637, or book on the Open Table app or online, surfandsirloin.com.
Joe Bacardi's is St. Louis' premier family dining option, serving the St. Louis area for over 46 years. Joe Bacardi's has four convenient locations in Eureka, Watson Road, Fenton, and Columbia, Illinois. Serving hand-rolled St. Louis-style pizzas, a variety of pastas, steaks, chicken, seafood, and salads. I recommend the lasagna and spinach salad, some of the best food I've ever had in St. Louis. For menus, locations, and coupons, visit JoeBacardi's.com.
Hello, would you like me to find workout classes near you?
There are no stores that sell glasses within 10 miles of your location.
There's enough artificial in the world. That's why Michelob Ultra is brewed with no artificial colors or flavors. With just 95 calories and 2.6 carbs, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. 2019 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 grams carbs, 0.6 grams protein, and 0.0 grams fat for 12 ounces.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
Well, apparently I had my Army physical for induction and selective service registration confused. To register for Selective Service, you do not go get in your tighty-whities and duck walk and walk around with a bag and pee in a cup and all that stuff. They're two separate. I'll read a couple of emails after we check in with John Londoff that'll clear all that up. That's so long ago, I didn't remember what was what. I just remember going down there and going through that humiliating day. But now it's time to talk about the thrill of getting a new vehicle, even if your new vehicle is a pre-owned vehicle that is like new to you. Same, should be, same great experience. Say hello to a man that can make that happen. John Londoff, everybody.
How are you? Hello, 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 hello.
Never better. Never.
AM of the PM plan.
Yeah, they're all listening. I was going to ask you if you remembered registering for the Selective Service at 18, but now that I realize registering is totally different than going downtown for the pre-induction physical, I'm guessing you probably don't remember registering at 18.
Years ago, so no.
Yeah, I don't think the registration itself is anything anybody would remember, but I guarantee you, you did, because it's law that once you turn 18, you have to register so they know who you are and they know you're out there. In case we're ever in a big war, they start plucking the people that they need to serve. Your dad was a Marine. I know that.
Yes, sir. My dad was a Marine. I think that I don't think he was quite 18 when he enlisted, so he was close.
Which, by the way, was not uncommon for people of his generation because they wanted to serve. And in many cases, they lied about their age and got away with it because they wanted to serve the country. And so that wasn't uncommon that he might not have been 18 and was supposed to be. There are records back to World War I of guys serving who were, and I'm not kidding, like 14, 15, but looked a little older and got in because they needed people, you know. And they were happy to do it. So, good for them. Good for them. That's all I have to say.
It is, you know. So, speaking of Gary Sinise, right? Mimi bought it.
Oh, my goodness. A true you talk about a true patriot? There's a grateful, real patriot.
Grateful American.
Yeah.
Yeah, grateful American. I mean, first of all, great guy, great actor. But you read the whole story on this guy. I mean, basically, in high school, he was about a loser. You know, smoked a lot of dope. I mean, smoked a lot of dope. And he gives so much credit to the drama teacher in his high school, and he moved around a lot. His dad was a movie editor, so his dad was in the business of editing film. But he had nothing to do with it, but he loved playing music. So Dan, you'd love this, and he loved playing the bass.
Hey Dan, bass guitar. You got it. There's still hope.
Hot dogs.
Yeah.
And what's the name of his band? The very famous
Lieutenant Dan Band.
Yeah.
That's it, man. And people, if you like to read, if you like, this guy's an unbelievable guy. And it's a great book, and all he talks about is just he can't do enough to give back, to the men and women. And it really starts a lot with the Vietnam War and just how Vietnam veterans were treated. And he wanted to do all he could. And he had no idea that getting the role of Lieutenant Dan in the movie Forrest Gump would set his career on this epic journey of just the love that war veterans with damage that had severe injuries and multiple amputees. They just thought, this guy's unbelievable that he's bringing this kind of recognition, to wounded war heroes. And so, he goes, nobody really knew who Gary Sinise was, but they all knew who Captain Dan from that great movie. That's a movie that you can never watch enough. I mean, it is just, and the acting is unbelievable.
Well, I will tell you, too, I think there's a degree of guilt on his part that drove him to do what he's done, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. He gets paid to pretend to be a double amputee. And when you are honored and you're thanked by people who actually served and were seriously injured, you have to feel like, boy, you know what? They're thanking me for calling it. Yet I'm not really. I'm pretending, and I get paid. And I'm not kidding. I guarantee you, that got to him, and he thought, now I'm going to do something besides just pretend and get paid. And he's done more than something. This guy has done more than most anybody has any idea. I mean, I watched a video about 3 days ago of him watching a video thanking him. And they rolled a camera while he sat in front of a little computer screen. And he watched all of these people thanking him for what he's done. And he just started crying. I mean, it really got to him. I don't know. Sometimes you can tell when somebody's a phony, and you can tell when they're doing it for publicity. He's not. He's not a phony. He's not doing it for publicity. He is the real deal. And he should be, at every opportunity, recognized, even though he's not doing it for that. We should still recognize people like that more than we recognize the Kardashians and skanks like that. We should give people like this attention.
So, why is that? Why are we... What's this stupid allure with the pigs of America and not the really good people?
I don't know. If you want to be like anybody, you shouldn't want to be like Kim Kardashian. You should want to be like Gary Sinise. That's who you should want to be like.
Yeah. I mean, that's someone that I would absolutely just really like to shake his hand and tell him thank you. I mean, the book, phenomenal. And it will make you laugh.
What's the name of the book?
Grateful America.
Wow. I'll have to get this.
Yeah. I mean, it is a great book. And he,
write that down.
He's just a Chicago guy, And he talks, and it's pretty funny, about the first time that he met his wife's parents when they were going to a club in Chicago. And he had just come from, working, and practicing and play. The one thing I can tell you, this guy's a workaholic. I mean, he just puts himself into a role. And if you like movies, you'll love the book also, because it talks in depth about what it takes to get a role, and then how do you immerse yourself into it. And he talks about so many different actors and directors, and because at one point he wanted to be a director. But again, going back to his drama teacher, these guys were you know, he and some of his buddies were just downright derelicts, just smoking dope outside the, you know, doors of the high school. And this drama teacher said, why don't you come, we've got a West Side Story. We've got a play, school play. I'm going to get you guys involved in the play. And that was it, man. The very first play practice. And then when he saw his name on the sheet of people that, you know, made it into the, on the play, that was it. He just, he got hooked. And, but he's going to this club, and he's got holes in his jeans, he had a t-shirt on, his hair, when you look at the picture, his hair was thick and curly, and just a big afro, and this major D goes, well, you can't come in here. He goes, well, I'm late. I have to meet my girlfriend's parents. He goes, well, you cannot come in here looking like that. So the guy goes and gets him a jacket. He goes, and the jacket didn't fit real well. And he goes, and you can't come in the front door. You have to come in the back door. Come back around the corner and take you through the kitchen to get to where his, you know, a girlfriend's father, future father-in-law. And he's like, how this guy ever let me marry his daughter, I'll never know. Except, you know, that's another great thing. He goes, that I made him very proud that, you know, he allowed his daughter to marry this guy that at one time looked a little rough. But yeah.
Well, you mean there was a time in this country when you actually had to look presentable to go in a restaurant?
Yeah.
Sure, not the case now. Hey, can I recommend a great movie for you that Gary Sinise is in?
Yes.
It's called Ransom. It's a Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah.
And it's a story. Have you seen this? Where Gibson's son gets abducted, and Sinise plays the part of a police officer, a corrupt police officer. He's fantastic in that movie.
Yeah, we've seen that movie. Very good movie. He talks about that in the book. If you're looking besides the other great charities here in the St. Louis area, like, you know, St. Louis Arc and Children's Hospital and Little Bit Foundation and on and on and on and on, and Ronald McDonald House, the Gary Sinise Foundation. Pretty good deal. I checked it out, and I like it. So do something to eat. It's unbelievable how many charities and organizations he's helped out. And I can't tell you how many trips he's taken, you know, to the front lines in Kuwait and Afghanistan and Baghdad. I mean, you know, just pretty much fearless. And all he talks about is just being able to shake the hands of these great men and women of our country's soldiers.
But see, we don't, in Hollywood, in Hollywood show business, we don't seem to honor people like this the way we honor the Jay-Z's or the Kanye West's of the world. There ought to be a massive award show, and the whole award show ought to be to recognize and thank the Toby Keiths of the world and the Gary Sinises of the world. But no, instead, we turn on an award show and we watch these people who I don't even know why they're famous, some of them, and they're just rolling in dough, and there's not any evidence that they ever really do anything for humanity or for anybody. I mean, it's all screwed up to me.
They can take their money and buy their kids way into a college.
Thank you. Boy, oh boy.
How pathetic is that? And you think there's probably some hard, unbelievably hardworking high schoolers that worked their tail off to get into a university, and they get bumped because of these losers. That's all. That's it. I'm off my bandwagon. Big game tonight, St. Louis Blues. Again, no one would have ever guessed. I was one of them, and I am a diehard Blues fan. I mean, I was a snot-nosed kid that first year, 67-68, and to this day, being able to call Bobby Plager a friend just is hard for me to believe, because I love the guy and watch those hip checks. And For not only the great hockey fans of St. Louis, the alumni, I think there's well over 35 plus, you know, guys that played hockey. They didn't finish their careers in St. Louis, but they all moved back here. You know, and why is that? They'll tell you, because it's the most resemblance of a Canadian atmosphere of people being nice, people genuinely being nice people here in St. Louis. But then again, we don't want to talk about that in the media either. We just want to always talk about the crap, that there's a lot of good in this town. There's a lot of really good stuff going on in the St. Louis area. And what I get excited about, like some of these new restaurants that open up, oh, man, that gets me excited. But
here comes free plug. Here it comes.
Nope.
Free
I'm just going to talk about it. I mean, I know one of your big, Annie Guns. I mean, you know, breaks my heart when it's closed on Mondays.
If you're ever around that place very much, you wonder how they even survive only being closed one day. Those people work really hard. The other thing I want to say to folks who think that because somebody owns a business, I don't care if it's a car dealership or a restaurant, you think they got some gravy train and they just coast along. Not any of us, none of us, and I'm including myself, work a fourth as hard as people who own and run successful businesses. We don't. And nobody wants to seem to ever think about that. Well, they got it made. They got a car dealership. John, you know what I'm talking about. You get your own car dealership. Everybody I know that's ever had a business that was successful worked four or five times as much as the rest of us work. So yes, to all of you people, there are some of us who know that and acknowledge that. So there you go.
That restaurant business, no, that's a tough business.
It's tough business.
My dad grew up in the couple of taverns that my grandpa had, you know, great immigrant Harry Londoff, who didn't drink. He didn't drink, but he owned taverns. You know, they had restaurants in them. And his line, my grandpa Harry's line, was, you know, people drink in bad times. They drink in good times, but they drink more in bad times. My dad grew up, you know, like a busboy. I mean, he was bussing tables and carrying the crates of beer when they were in a wooden crate. And those beer bottles, you know, back in the 40s, I mean, you'd break that thing over someone's head, it'd kill them. They were so thick. And, of course, they were all, you had to return them, you had to for deposit. But he said the toughest thing is waiting on someone who's hungry, but the worst is taking care of someone who's drunk. So that's it. Come on, we're open late tonight. And AM and the PM crowd, we love you here at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. So give us a call, 314-837-1800, 314-837-1800, 24/7, 365 at Londoff.com. And that's my radio. And that's it.
That's a good one. Thank you. Appreciate it. They're on the way. Thank you.
See you, Frank. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, before we hit Josh, hang on a second. We'll hit your theme. Don't worry. I have to share a couple of emails with you that I got. We're talking about little people earlier. So I got an email from a regular listener, longtime listener named Barry. He goes by Doc is his nickname. Here's what he says. Speaking of little people, he said, I dated a little person once. I was nuts over her. So thank you. Now, I got multiple emails here about the Selective Service. And, folks, you're right. Don, who also long time, I mean, listened for years and years, says we're listening to talk about Selective Service and registering for the draft. He says, you did not go to the Martin Building to register for the Selective Service. We signed up at the Selective Service Board in your local community. He says, basically what he's telling me was, I went to the Mart building for the pre-induction physical. And I think he's right here because I've heard from too many people who say they register, but they never had to go, you know, do the stuff I was talking about, walking around in your underwear. And then one guy writes with regard to my mentioning that we had to duck walk in our tidy whiteys and walk around all day. He says, do you remember your sergeant's name? Who wrote me this? This is this from Mark? I can't remember who this one came from. I can't find it, but I remember what it said. It said, do you remember your sergeant's name when you're in your tidy whiteys? Was it Sergeant Richard Simmons?
Oh. Jeez.
So thank you for all the emails. And you know what? You've refreshed my memory a little bit. You're absolutely right. Registering is one thing. Pre-induction, when you know you're going in and you've agreed to go in voluntarily, yes, you got to go in for pre-induction, the physical, and that's what that was all about. Maestro, Mr. Bauman's music, please. There it is. And I'll be the first person with a question because I have an issue, and I think for him it'll be a simple one. Here are the phone numbers, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590 if you need to speak with Josh Bauman. He's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, and you can find out more at windowworldst.louis.com. Give it up for Josh Bauman, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
All right, so let me get mine right out of the way,
sure.
And we'll let you talk and let other people jump in here. And I know this for you will be simple. I had some work done. It wasn't on my computer, but you know how a brilliant, like we got an engineer here at the station, Gino, and Gino was able to take over my computer from a remote location. You know what I'm talking
sure.
about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we fixed a couple issues, but in the process, when we were finished, I went to fire up my computer, and normally it's in sleep mode, and if I just hit the space bar, let's say, on the keyboard, it comes back on. But now when it comes on, it wants my password, and it didn't do that before. So before, somehow, I had it set up so that when I took it out of sleep mode,
right.
it just came up, and I go to my mail or whatever. Now it wants my Apple password or whatever.
So
how do I get it back?
I'm assuming this is on a Mac, right?
Yes, it is.
If you go into System Preferences, it should be there should be a folder in there called Security Settings, I believe.
Okay.
The setting will be in there. Security and Privacy, check on the General tab, and there should be a check mark box option for Require Password. And then there's okay. also an option for After Sleep or After Screensaver Begins.
Okay, if I can't find that, I'll call you off the air.
Sure.
And you can walk me through how to get to that. Okay,
yeah.
So how you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I tell you what, Dan's on fire today. I was thoroughly enjoying his comedy.
Thank you, Josh.
Hang on, Josh. No, don't. Limey?
Yeah.
Would you please edit out what Josh just said?
I got you. Gladly.
Edit it out.
Radio edit.
So, Josh, how you doing?
I'm really good. Someone needs to reprimand Dan for his poor attempt at comedy.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Let's just take GW's call, because
sure.
we do have one call. Then we'll get to whatever you wanted to share with us today. GW, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hey, Josh. Hi, guys. Crew.
Hey, GW.
AM and the PM. Thank you. Who loves you, baby?
Kelly Savalas right. reference.
Yeah, I don't know
why he did that, but I know what it was.
Well, it was fun. Like, you guys are having fun, I'm having fun. I got through.
Well, good for you. What can Josh help you with?
Okay, I have a condo, and my garage is not attached to the condo. It's about 130 feet away. So in the past 2 months, I had the condo garage insulated and drywalled and painted and all that. So I'm thinking about putting a small TV out here.
Okay.
I have AT&T U-verse in the house. I have three TVs in there, three individual boxes, controls, you know, remotes.
Right.
And I don't need that necessarily out in the garage. I don't know. And it's all wireless.
Right.
So is that something that I'm going to need an antenna for and just receive basic local stuff? Or can I, you know, maybe
sure.
think about...
So your easiest and cheapest route, you already have the solution, getting a over-the-air antenna and likely just using that with the TV to get over-the-air channels. If you do require or you do want to try and get some sort of internet connection out there, so you could either stream connections, because I don't know if people realize this, and GW, you're in the same boat with this. You have U-verse service now already from AT&T, but what you may not realize is some of your favorite channels, say like Discovery, History Channel, channels like that have apps for the phone, and by having service with U-verse, You can download those apps from those channel from those stations and watch their content by putting in your U-verse username and password, and you get that content for free. It's part of the package from U-verse. So if you wanted to beam your internet connection out there, it would. So 130 feet, you are going to need some sort of what they would call a mesh network, and at 130 feet, you may need something that is a little bit more directional. And there are special antennas for that. If you want a little bit more detail into that, I can go into that over email. It'd be better than trying to do it now. It is going to be a little bit pricier on the pricier side, because you do have to buy specialized antennas to do some that distance. I'm doing something similar at work about that distance, about 100 feet.
Okay.
But it is going to get a little bit pricier.
Well, let me ask you something on GW's behalf. What you're saying is, if he uses those apps, though, he can mirror from his phone right to his TV out in his garage.
You
can
could.
Watch all that stuff, right?
You could. So what you would end up doing, it might work that way, Frank. You would have to have some sort of connection, some sort of like Wi-Fi service out in the garage.
Unless he has a really strong cell signal, like
yeah.
a full strong 4G, because I've done that. I've mirrored my phone with nothing more than a good cell signal.
Wow. And not me this time.
You and Frank are at war.
Well, you know what? Okay.
Contagious.
You know what, Frank? That brings up a good point. So if you have, GW, if you have a good cell service and you have a data package on your plan that has a good amount of data associated with it, you could turn your phone into a hotspot if you had a smart TV and watch TV that way as well.
And it's a one-time price of like, you know, $50 or whatever it is for an Apple TV. GW, do you have a really good, strong cell signal in your garage?
Yeah, I'm on it right now. I've got an Apple iPhone.
I'm not kidding. I've done this. I'm AT&T, but at home I have a really strong cell signal,
yeah.
And I've watched Netflix, I've watched Amazon, I've watched all this stuff on my phone, mirrored it on my TV in full high definition, and it's unbelievable, and I've never had a buffering problem or skipping, nothing. If you've got a good cell signal for the price of an Apple TV, or give me
yeah.
another one, Josh,
well,
or a
Apple,
Chromecast
yeah,
or whatever.
Apple TV would probably be the least confusing way to do it, because like I said, he could turn his phone into a hotspot, connect the Apple TV to the phone's hotspot, and get those apps from UVerse that way. But yeah, in theory, that would
buy
work.
I'm looking to buy a basic, you know, 21 inch or something, you know, basic. It's a one car garage. I mean, it's a smaller condo garage. It's nice now. It's nice. It used
sure.
to be crap. So I don't want to buy an Apple TV. Thank you.
Like you all had the same thing for breakfast.
Man, why is that same thing always funny? Why is that funny?
No one.
It just
safe.
Is. It just is.
Okay. So $119, $150 TV. That's it.
Yeah, and you could easily buy a smart TV, a smaller smart TV for that kind of money if you didn't want to go with the Apple TV route, and still then connect that TV to your phone hotspot if you wanted to.
Okay. Well, I have emailed you before.
Okay.
I got this smartphone, and you helped me. It was 4 or 5 months ago, and it all worked out fine. And I ended up not getting a Samsung and getting the Apple, so
it's all about what you're used to. Yeah, it's what you're comfortable
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I'm not used to any of that. I used to be a flipper guy, you know, flip phones.
Yeah.
So I got this iPhone now, and it's great. It's a machine.
There you go.
All right. All right, GW, anything else?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you. GW's gone, and now here they are lining up for you, Josh. So let's just jump in here and take John. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hello, Josh.
Hello, John.
Frank. How's everybody? I am AM and the PM.
Thank you, John. I recognize John's voice. John's called before, I believe.
Yes, I have. And the reason I'm calling is because a few weeks ago I asked about the best antivirus.
Okay.
Was the Avast is what I had on there.
Sure.
So I renewed it.
Okay.
Now, ever since I've renewed it, I've been getting a browser for Avast that pops up before the Google Chrome that I normally use on it. Do I need to use that browser?
No.
Okay.
No, you could. You can probably remove that. Are you sure it's not just a plug-in or a skin over the Chrome browser? Is it?
No.
Truly...
When I turn on my laptop, all of a sudden I don't click anything on, and
yeah.
all of a sudden the Avast browser that's down there at the bottom of the icon, it just pops up and shows me, and I can go into all of the screens of my AOL or
wow.
Facebook or anything like that. It shows everything I used for the Chrome, but it shows that on the Avast browser.
No, you there's no reason to use that.
Okay,
no.
That's all excellent.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, John.
All right, that was easy. Thank you, John. Mary, Mary, and I'm not going to say quite contrary because she's probably heard that her whole life, so I won't say that. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hello, Josh, and I am AM in the PM.
Thank you, Mary.
Hello, Mary.
You're welcome. Josh, I have a Sony Bravia TV, and I went to turn it on last night, and it just has no power at all.
Okay.
It was working fine the night before. The red light that shows that it has power isn't lit. I checked the cord in the back to make sure it was plugged into the TV, and I checked the plug into the power strip.
Okay.
And both of those are tight. I've heard that maybe there's something that you have to like kind of reboot it or something.
Well, let me ask you a couple questions real quick first. Is there anything else plugged into the power strip that the TV is plugged into?
Yes.
And those
things?
The sound
system and the DirecTV box.
And those things have power without issue?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not a power strip issue.
Right.
You can, I assume you've unplugged it and left it unplugged for a good while, 30 minutes or so?
No, I didn't leave it unplugged for that long. I just left it unplugged for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, see, I would think that'd be long enough, too.
Yeah.
Chances are it's the power supply in the TV that's gone out. And I know that's probably not what you want to hear. And
hey, can I ask you a quick, question?
It's not that old.
Right.
Mary, how much was this television? How much did you pay for this TV?
Probably about, I don't know, $700-$800. Probably about close to $1,000.
Oh, shoot.
How big is it?
Well, if you'd said $200, I was going to say, well, just get a new TV because it's not going to be worth fixing, but that's an expensive TV.
Right.
How big is it, Mary?
Yeah, I don't know the inches, Josh.
Okay. It doesn't matter.
It's not huge though.
If you're not getting the red power light even when it's turned off, something is keeping power from being delivered to the board in the TV.
Right.
I would say if it's less than a year old, I would take it back to
It's not less than a year old.
Okay.
It's probably, you know, about a year and 8 months.
Yeah, of course. That's how it works.
Of course. Yeah.
So, okay, and Mary's call brings us to a great question that we've never addressed before, and that is this. Where do you take...
Extended warranties.
Where do you take...
No.
Yeah.
Not extended warranties. Where do you take... Let's say you have no warranty. Where do you take a TV like this to have somebody not screw you over and replace the power supply?
So there are... if you call Sony, if you get on Sony's website and find your particular make and model TV... They likely have a phone number that you can call for Sony support, and they will give you the number or email address of the local Sony repair shop. And it's not really a shop.
Okay,
it's probably like a distribution center. We've had to do this before, and for whatever reason, they always seem to be out around Earth City for some reason.
What part of town are you in, Mary?
Okay. Dan, what did you say?
What part of town are you in?
I actually live in Trenton, Illinois.
There's
close to Lebanon.
Oh, okay. If you send me an email, it's danstrauss at yahoo.com. I have a friend of mine, a very good friend. He's actually the guitar player in a Doc Holliday band.
Oh, in your band?
Yeah. Well, this is his business. He does that. He does TV repair.
Oh,
he does amp repair.
Okay.
He does all kinds of electronic repair, and he's in Illinois, actually.
Whoa. So I can take it to him.
Hold on, everybody. Yeah. Well, I mean, that is not bad news or shocking, horrible, negative news.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it's good news.
It's like a trumpet fanfare.
It should be like a harp or angels. Something good, not something bad.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mary, this is Dan. This is how Dan gets women's home addresses. He pretends to have a friend in this business or that business. You give me your home address and I'll have my friend call. Next thing you know, Dan's at your house.
Because Frank, I am your favorite age.
Yes, you are. I can tell by your voice. I know you are.
Yes.
I'll give you
Shoot Dan an email, and seriously, if he says his friend is good at this, then he's good at it, and let him talk to you and see what he suggests, and maybe for a reasonable amount of money, you get a new power supply put in.
That sounds great. I appreciate it. I knew you guys could solve my problems, even though I didn't ask for the problem solvers.
No, we did. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank
you. Okay, thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Very quickly, we had a microwave go out. I've talked about this for a long time. And there's a place on Manchester. I'm not going to name the place. But this guy, you walk in there and it's just cluttered. It's just filled with TVs and computers and microwaves.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to do pest control at that place.
Uncle Bill's?
No, it starts with a P. Is that right?
I was kidding.
Oh, no. Maybe I'm thinking of something else then. No, I guess not.
It's a word that starts with P. P, fill in the other letters, electronics. It's P is a word, electronics.
P-Rats?
And so, PETA?
No, but this guy, he fixed the microwave. I took it home, plugged it in. It worked. He charged $75.
Wow.
I talked this on the air, and I had numerous people email me and say, wow, don't ever do that again. It's a fuse. It was a 25 cent fuse. And we did it twice. This microwave. And now if it happens again, I'm going to get on YouTube, put in the model, and I'll find a YouTube video about how to get to the fuse, take it out and replace it. Now I know better. But with these TVs, Josh, you know, the days of a TV repairman coming to your house, those days ended 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And also the days of knowing where to even take one of these things. Now, the good news is, in the old days, they were so heavy, you couldn't take them anywhere. Yeah. A big 30-inch TV weighed a ton. These don't weigh much. So if you got an SUV, well, you put it in it. But knowing where to take it, most of us don't even do that. We just get a new one because usually it's not worth the price it's going to. They're going to charge you to fix it. You just get a new one.
Yep, I agree completely.
But it would be good to know where to take an expensive TV to get it looked at. Let's talk to Jer. Jer, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Josh, top of the day to you, buddy.
Hey, Jer.
Hey, I got to tell you, thank you for being so kind to share the information with the rest of us.
No, oh, I appreciate that.
And, Frank, you got the best program on the air. Bar none.
I'm sorry, what?
You have the best program, bar none, on a radio station.
Well, thank you, Jer. Very nice.
You make my day.
Well, thank you. That's nice. What do you have for Josh?
Well, here's my issue. I've got a Pixel phone.
Okay.
That has over 4,000 photographs I took with my son. We took a trip out west. And I was trying to project them onto my flat screen TV. It's a Philips. It's a TV monitor combination.
Okay.
So I tried to use a USB cord to hook it up from my phone to the TV, but I can't get any image from my phone onto
the TV.
What
is a Pixel phone? What does that mean?
It's Google's branded phone. I have one as well. It's the Google. It's like their pure operating system. You don't have all the Samsung junk or
but it's a smartphone.
It is a smartphone. It runs stock Android. I love it. I'm on the Pixel 3. I love my Pixel. Jer, so you have Wi-Fi in your house?
No, I don't.
Okay. The Chromecast, so hands down, probably the easiest way to do this for you is with a Chromecast. The Chromecast, you can connect to the Chromecast even without Wi-Fi. It will create its own Wi-Fi for you, and you can connect to it and cast straight to the Chromecast from your Pixel, actually from any phone. You just have to download the Chromecast app, and it works wonderfully.
Can I interrupt just for a second?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Per your recommendation, you recommended a TV a while back, TCL.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting one of them. Could I do that with the TCL?
Let me ask you this. If you don't have Wi-Fi in your house, is there an overwhelming reason why you would want a smart TV? Because, I mean, most TVs
now... Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. Just because you recommend it, that's the only reason why I was considering it.
I appreciate that. But honestly, if you don't have Wi-Fi in your house, I don't know that I would recommend for you to spend money on a smart TV. You can buy what I call dumb TVs, a little bit cheaper, and then you could add on the Chromecast to that device. And the Chromecast is like $30, and that would definitely solve your issue of throwing your pictures over to the TV and being able to view them on the TV. Does that make sense?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, don't, go ahead.
So, well, the thing was is that I wanted to get a bigger TV, so I was going to go ahead and the TLC, their prices are so reasonable.
They are.
I hate buying Chinese crap.
Well, that's almost anything right now. I mean, yeah, for the price.
Jared, do you hate Chinese stuff or Japanese stuff?
Well, the only reason I say Chinese is because the fact that everything you turn around, you buy like gypsum board, dog or pet food, tires, everything you touch turns to crap. And so that's the reason.
Well, any TV you buy is more than likely going to be Japanese.
The TCL is, or TLC, that's Chinese.
Is it?
Okay. Okay.
Yes, it is Chinese.
That doesn't make it a bad TV, you know.
I didn't say it was a bad TV. I try not to buy anything that's made in China.
Okay, just China, not Japan, just China.
China, yes, correct.
Well, you got a tremendous selection of great Japanese TVs. You don't have to buy that TV. There's a lot of great TVs made in Japan that are really good for what you want to do, especially like Josh said, if you don't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you one more clarification, if you don't mind.
Sure.
There's the, what is it, the Oroka or whatever that is?
Roku?
Roku, that's it, Roku. Will that work also with the Chromecast?
So to cast your pictures to the Roku wouldn't work inherently with the phone. Like, you wouldn't be able to swipe on your phone and the pictures appear on the TV. Will have to look on my Roku at home if I can install the Google Photos app on the Roku. But again, if you don't have Wi-Fi, don't buy the Roku. It won't work.
Chromecast is the way to go then.
I would think for your problem with what you're trying to do, a Chromecast will work because even without Wi-Fi, the Chromecast will create its own Wi-Fi network, and your phone will be able to connect to that, and you'll be able to cast your photos from your phone to that device.
Outstanding. Hey, thank you very, very much. I truly appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, Jared.
Thank you, Jared.
Thanks for the service. I really appreciate it.
Well, I think of it that way, Jer, as just a service. I'm serving my fellow man. That's the way I think of it. Not for money, just service. Yeah. I appreciate what you said. I have a tough time thinking that stuff seriously when people compliment me like that, but thank you. I appreciate it.
No, I thank you because you're really helping all of us out here. Just not me. I'm sure somebody else out there wants to do the same doggone thing that I'm wanting to do and having a problem. And not only today, but every day that you're on the air, it really is making our day, and I thank you for doing this. I hope you never retire.
Well, I don't want to, but it looks like it's coming sooner before later. But thank you, Jer. I appreciate it.
Hey, AM and the PM, buddy.
Thank you, bye-bye. I don't know how to handle that.
No compliments?
I get paid. Okay, it's not like I'm Mother Teresa or I'm Gary Sinise. It's a job. You get paid to do it. But I appreciate that. That's nice. It really is. Jer seems like a really, really nice guy. My goodness, Josh, you're more popular than I ever expected you to be. No offense. Les is next. Les, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hello, Josh.
Hello, Les.
Try to be quick. I've been trying for some time to create a bootable flash drive with a Linux system. Ooh. The Ubuntu Linux system.
Yeah.
Whoa. And version 18.04 for 32-bit PC.
Okay.
And I downloaded the ISO file from the website.
Yep.
And I've run it through four or five different programs that are supposed to create a bootable disk. And every time I try to boot up off of that flash drive, it paints the wallpaper for the desktop, puts a banner across the top, shows the time and the date, and then the computer freezes up.
Hmm. So it's actually booting. The USB drive is actually booting then.
It's trying to, yeah, but the computer freezes up.
So how new is this PC you're trying to run it on?
10 years old.
Oh, okay. So it is 32-bit, not 64.
But 64-bit, 2.2 gigahertz.
Oh, wait. Okay, so there's probably your problem. If you're downloading the 32-bit ISO...
I'm downloading the 64-bit.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you downloaded the 32-bit.
I have no idea, folks, what they're talking about.
I downloaded the 64-bit ISO, and it's a 64-bit...
processor.
With 2.2 gigahertz and 4 gig of RAM.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to run it.
Yeah, that sounds like it should run it. I wonder if... have you tried it on a different USB? To make sure it's not the USB.
Yes, I put it on all three USBs on the computer. It paints the wallpaper, puts a banner across the top, and freezes up. Can't even move the cursor. The only way to get out of it is to shut it off.
Yeah, there's something else going on there, Les. Either a supported hardware issue or some compatibility that's causing that to lock up.
Try smacking the side of it.
that might work.
I was going to throw it into a brick wall, but I'm not...
Les, I went and looked up while you were talking. I looked up all the things you just mentioned, and I found the site, and it says the problems you're experiencing can oftentimes go back to a situation where if a person watches in excess of 10 hours of porn a week, do you watch more than 10 hours of porn a week?
Oh, definitely.
There you go. There you are. There's your problem. Actually, we're so close to being out of time. Do you, Les, I think this is something Josh would look into you for,
yes,
you, if
absolutely.
I know him at
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
Do you have Josh's email address? I'm telling you, this guy's the real deal. He'll check into this and email you back. Do you have his address?
No, I don't.
Okay. It's Josh.
Give it to him.
techadvice@gmail.com. And I try to reply to those pretty quickly unless my life's been crazy, which it has been for about the last week.
No, he's real good about this. He'll get back to you. So
okay,
you got his email address. Shoot him an email.
Okay, now I'll describe the computer, too. Maybe that'll help.
Yeah, make and model number would help a little bit, yeah.
Okay. All right, Les.
Appreciate your help. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you very much. Now I have a dilemma here. We have 2 minutes, and I don't think there's much we can get done in 2 minutes, but maybe Dan has a real quick question. Unless, Josh, was there something you really wanted to share with people? We'll just jump right into that.
We can take care of Dan.
All right, now, Dan, I'm sorry. We got two minutes.
That's okay.
He's all yours. Josh, but not you. Dan on the phone. Take it away, Dan.
No problem. Thanks. I'll try and be quick. AMN to PM first.
Thanks.
I have Charter AT or Charter Internet at home, and TV, and my son wants an Ethernet run into his room so he can play games faster on the computer versus being
porn.
Wireless.
He wants porn.
Well, probably.
Yep, he wants
but
porn.
So I called Charter and they said they don't run Ethernet cables,
yeah,
but they'll run a coax up to his room.
No.
Would I be able to get a modem that plugs into the coax that then turns into an Ethernet to plug into his computer?
No. Do you have access to like a crawl space or underneath his floor, like a subfloor or anything like that?
I do not. He's on the second story of a two-story home.
Yeah, that's going to be really hard. Either if he really wants Ethernet, you would have to get probably an electrician out there, or a low voltage electrician out there to run that wire for you. I would
just
do a
it up through the walls.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yep, you're exactly right. I would do a speed test from your phone and see what kind of speeds he's getting in his room. You may need a mesh network like Google Wi-Fi in your house.
Okay, because I bought one of those extenders, and I think it says it's connecting like at 80 megabits per second or whatever.
Yeah, that should be plenty fast for any game.
10 seconds, Dan. 10 seconds.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right,
thank you, Dan. Have to treat him like Mike Evans. You've done it again. Holy cow. Give me your email address one more time.
JoshTechAdvice@gmail.com.
There he goes. Thank you, Josh. Josh Bauman, everybody. This guy knows his stuff. He's a nice guy, and he does respond to people, and there's not much that he doesn't know about, unlike me. I that one guy, Les, I had no idea what that guy was talking about. 64 gig, meg, 32, 1080, I don't know. Foreign language to me. Hey, the Playhouse is coming up after the news and everything that goes with it. I think Bill Quevlin's out of town. I don't remember where he said he was going, but he's somewhere, and we'll find out where and where he wants to take us. Don't go away. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Former Vice President Joe Biden is holding his first rally since announcing his Democratic presidential bid.
By the way, I make no apologies. I am a union man, period.
Speaking at a labor union hall in Pittsburgh today, Biden also said, "We are in a battle for America's soul." The Justice Department is identifying the military veteran accused.